Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Hello, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we feeling tonight? Awesome, awesome. I hope you came with expectation to draw on the power of God tonight. Come up and flood the altar. I'm so excited. The first thing that we want to do is set an atmosphere of praise, amen? Because the King is enthroned on the praises of His people. That's in the book of Revelation. That means whenever we praise Him, there He is sitting on His throne, ready to do work on our behalf, amen? That's so exciting. Go ahead and just get your hands up and pray with me. Jesus, we're going to create an atmosphere of praise this morning, God, because we know that You are wherever we praise You, Jesus. You're so worthy of all of our praise. You're so worthy of all of our worship. So we're going to give You what's due tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Go ahead, come on.
Thank you for being in this room. Just lift your hands right now and thank him. Thank him for his presence and who he is and how awesome he is. We thank you, Jesus. Just start lifting your voices. Start proclaiming who he is. He is so great, Jesus. We thank you.
Your presence to increase. Lord, our appetite is more than what's in the room. God, we want and desire more of you. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Lord, we just want to say this morning, this evening, that our hearts are after you. I want more of Jesus. You are our all in all, God. I pray that tonight, God, some folks in this room will have a revelation, God, a true apocalypse in the spirit. Lord, we'll see you so massive and so colossal in who you are that, Lord, it will literally take our breath away. Lord, we want to be in awe of you. God, we thank you that tonight you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none like you. And tonight we just want to say thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed our sin away. Thank you, Jesus, that tonight you've given us the Holy Ghost. Father, those that are not filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, we pray, Lord, be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak with other tongues. Lord, even right now during this portion of the worship, that, Lord, they should be filled right now in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, we thank you for miracles and signs and wonders. We put a draw on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that tonight you're just going to make yourself who you are, real, alive, and powerful. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Isn't he good? Don't you love Jesus? Can you go around me? Maybe say hi to four or five folks and say, I sure do love Jesus. I thank God that he's here tonight. Come on, go find some folks that you don't know. Our Ithaca campus is in the house tonight. Make sure you meet some of the Ithaca campus. Tell them, hey, God is good. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. I thought there were going to be some announcements, so I just stare. I'm staring at the TV. We want to welcome the Craig family here tonight. Brother and sister Craig have been in the ministry. How many years have you been in the ministry? 30 years. Praise God. Thank you so much for being here. We're honored to have you in the house tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like the main course. How many of you eat your dessert first? Some of you do. My wife eats dessert first. Myself, I like the main course. I want to be so full, I don't even have time to eat an Oreo. Now, I want you to know that I had Raymond Pride tonight, and so I had time, and I ate a whole sleeve of Oreos. Honey, you fed me Rhema Pride this evening. So. That's right. She didn't feed me nothing. A whole sleeve of Oreos. And I want you to know that I would rather have really good food. Amen. Tonight we are blessed. How many of you enjoyed this morning? The presence of God is so powerful, so good. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I could tell, I was telling my wife, I said, you can tell we haven't done a long, more of a long-term service in a lot of years because this place should be full. Can I hear an amen? And what's happened is you kind of get out of the cycle where you get home. Come on now. You had lunch. You grabbed a snooze. You forgot to drink your coffee. And people are still sitting on the couch. And maybe you're watching by live stream. I want you to know that you're going to hear a great message tonight, but you're not going to sense the anointing the same way. And I challenge you not to stay in your home tomorrow night. In fact, you have time to get here now. And I'd strongly encourage you, get out of your house. Get down to the house of God. Get into the corporate presence of Jesus. That's where it all changes. Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the anointing that flows down over the head, down over Aaron's beard, down over his cloak, down to his feet. And it's there that God commands the blessing. Can you turn to someone and say, you are brilliant. You are absolutely brilliant tonight for being in the house of God. Because now God can speak to you. God has a message for you. God's got encouragement for you. God's got strength for you. Can you welcome with me Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, Jr.?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many ready tonight for God to do something good? Can you shout amen? Before you sit down, would you just lift your hands all over this room and let's thank the Lord for his glory, his goodness, his anointing. Father, we thank you tonight for what you're about to do in this house. Thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. We thank you, Lord, that we shall not leave the same way we came in. We will receive something from the Lord, and we will leave full. We will leave healed. We'll leave delivered and changed by the power of God. We thank you for it. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout aloud, amen. 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 You can be seated. I'm so excited about what God's going to do tonight. And I've got an expectancy in my spirit. I hope you came ready as well. And Sam, you can just keep playing a little bit. You sound so good. I love Sam. What an anointing he's got on him. Yes. Bible said when the minstrels played, the prophets prophesied. One thing people don't really fully understand, I don't think, is that, you know, there is a connection between the praise that we release and the word that we receive. The praise that we release and the word that we receive. This king was begging the prophet Elisha, please prophesy our deliverance. Please prophesy our deliverance. Please. I love the answer he gave him. You can't say this kind of stuff in church today. He said, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the king of Judah, I wouldn't even be looking at you. He said to this other king, he said, I wouldn't even be hanging around you. I wouldn't even look on your face if it wasn't for my love for the king of Judah. But if you'd like me to, bring me a minstrel and I'll begin to prophesy. And he prophesied their deliverance. And there's a connection between the praise we release and the word we receive. And so many people say, well, why do we praise God like that every service before the preacher? It's not so that we can get extra time to have something ready to preach to you. It's because it's not because it's some liturgical thing we've done for years. It is a biblical principle that praise and worship always should precede the mighty word of God. Amen. Because see, before we receive anything from him, he should receive praise and worship from us. And it's a transaction. We give him, and our harvest is the word we receive. Not only that, it opens up our spirits. And so I'm excited. I came ready. I've got a word for you tonight. But I'm so excited to have, once I get, like I said this morning, my awesome and wonderful wife. She is such a blessing to me. And I couldn't love her more than I do. But I don't know if that's actually true, because I love her more today than when we got married all those years ago. So maybe love does grow. Hallelujah. I got a word on my lips. And so listen, one of the things that I'm so happy about is how God is continuing to use her. And, you know, one of the things, she doesn't like me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway, that when she started, and it's really only been a few months, really, since God spoke to her to start the Nonstop Mom Ministry. But as we started putting those podcasts out and those articles, she'd start having ladies write back to her. You know, I listened to that podcast. I wept through the entire thing. I needed it so bad in my spirit. The things you're preaching, the things you're teaching, it shook me to the core. And it's really amazing to see how the Word of God, even if you're not in the same room as a person, the Word of God can shake people to their very core. And so I'm so excited that she and my children are now traveling back again on the road with me, as I said. And I asked her if she would just come and just greet you tonight before I open the Word of God. Would you welcome my beautiful, wonderful, anointed, godly, supernatural wife, Carolyn Shuttlesworth.
Not necessary. I love this church. This is one of my favorite churches, like, honestly. It's like family. It is. Now, is that okay, what I said? You can pay me later. Okay. No, but I didn't know I was coming up here. But while we were worshiping and we were singing that last song and we kept saying, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, there has to be a demonstration of love. When you say you love somebody, there's an action you take. And I sit around here and I see everyone, you know, that's here. And yes, there should be more people, but you guys are the hungry ones. You guys are not going to leave with, you know, being depressed and full of depression and not joy. You guys are going to leave with your miracle. And what came to me in my spirit when we were singing was James. You know, I started thinking, why is it so many Christians are not living at their full potential? Why are they not living? Well, they're living in disobedience. You can be a Christian and still live in disobedience. And James 1 came to me as we were singing, and it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. So what's the action? We have to hear and do. And so it says, otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Has anyone ever read Deuteronomy 28? And at the beginning, it's the blessings, and everyone stops at the blessings. But then you get to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, and there's everything that happens when you're in disobedience. So when you're not doing what the word says, after you hear what the word says, you're operating in disobedience. But that is not for us tonight. I know that we're going to leave here fulfilled with what you've wanted, what you came expecting for, and I'm believing it just like Pastor Mike prayed, the revelation, that you're going to get the revelation of God's word. Amen? Amen.
Before we open the Word of God, I want you to lift your hands all over this house. We're going to pray. I always pray before we begin because, see, every heart needs to be open to receive. And this is the key. There's a lot of people that can hear the information of the Word, but what we need is not information. We need revelation. That comes by the eyes of our understanding being open. And so we always begin by saying, God, open our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding. So let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, open every eye tonight in the spirit realm. Open every heart to receive what the Spirit of God is saying. Lord, as you release to us in your word, let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let us hear it tonight, but not only hear it, retain it, ingest it, and begin to produce fruit in the supernatural realm with what we get tonight from the Holy Ghost. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, clap those hands and shout amen. I love my wife. Listen, if you didn't get a chance to pick this up before this morning, grab this. This is the newest edition of Miracle Word magazine as well. And my wife wrote a very powerful article in here as well called The Fuel for Your Increase. You know, increase is not random. doesn't just happen randomly. And she outlined in this article what it takes from the mighty word of God to see increase happen in your life every single day. Did you know there's many people that don't believe that you can live a life of total victory? Did you know there's many people that believe you have to go through the ups and the downs of life because that's just how life is? But that's not the plan of God for your life. The Bible said that the path of the just is a shining light, Proverbs 4:18, that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. God's plan for you is never-ending increase. Can you say amen? And that will really stir your faith. And then I wrote an article called No Longer Human. And I'm talking about what happens in you after you become a Christian, a new creation. You're not just some natural human anymore, but now you're a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away, and behold, I like that word behold because it means take a look. Take a look. All things have become new. It means look at every area of your life that used to be old and corrupted by sin. Take a look. All things have become new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Before Brother Sam stops that anointed music, I just want to read you one verse of scripture. Maybe two, maybe 10, maybe 24. But if you have your Bible, I want you to take a look at something with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, one of my favorite books of the Bible. I could stay in that thing forever. I could read and study Genesis and preach out of Genesis for the rest of my ministry. I love this book. There's so much packed into it. And first things are important, by the way. The way God starts something is very important. He has an origin story. You know, all these superhero movies are coming out. It's like, I'm done with the superhero movies. It's like, we're on like the Avengers part 93. It's like everybody, they've been Avengers for so long, they have like canes. They're like walking through, I'm going to get you. But you know what they start doing after the movies are over? They start going back and telling everybody's origin story. Well, how did this one start? How did this one start? Because people are interested in what was the cause that brought that person to that place. Origin stories are very interesting. That's why people like to read biographies. That's why biopics are so, and documentaries are so popular. Even people on Netflix binge watching documentaries. Why? Because people are interested. How did this start? How did this happen? And first things are important. And that's why the book of Genesis got so much packed into it. I could stay there. But I want to just show you something tonight in the third chapter. And I want to read, starting with the first verse, look at what the Bible says. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, yeah, I mean, we can eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you'll not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But then the serpent said to the woman, you'll not die. You're not going to die. For God knows that when you eat the fruit of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I want you to say this phrase with me tonight. Did God really say? I want you to say that. Did God really say? I'm going to show you the biggest trick. Thank you, Brother Sam. I want to show you one of the biggest tricks of the enemy over your life, and one of the things that destroys the lives of men and women that are trying to receive a miracle. Because I want you to catch this in your heart. The devil does not have the authority to destroy you. But what he can do is that he operates by deception and misinformation to try to keep you out of your success and out of your victory. So what does he do? He always, I mean, to this day, he's running the same scam. Did God really say? Did God really? What's he doing? He's trying his best to get us to doubt the mighty word of God. That's how he operates. He tries his best to get us to doubt the mighty word of God. And so you've got people all through the body of Christ that God has a plan to bless them. He's got a plan to break them through, take them into overflow. But what the devil does is he comes in and tries to get that person to doubt whether or not God really does have that plan for them. In fact, here's one of the things that's so slimy, is that the devil has no problem admitting that, let's say, for example, Jesus is a healer. He's got no problem admitting that because he knows Jesus is a healer. And you can't, see, catch this. You can't put this massive deception in front of people, because if it was glaringly wrong and obviously wrong, nobody would believe the deception. So what does he do? He takes small things, or he'll take it and twist a small piece just to keep you out of the blessing. So he'll do stuff like this. He'll say, well, of course God is real. Well, of course God's powerful. Well, of course Jesus has power. And of course he's a healer. But would he really heal you? So he's not going to deny the power of God. He's not going to deny the redemption process, because those of us as believers, we already believe in the redemptive process of God. So what does he do? He'll come down to the personal level of people, and he'll pull or pluck one little thing out of your life and say, well, look at all the things you've done. Look at what you've been through. Look at what you've dealt with. Don't you think that at this point in your life, God's kind of disqualified you from getting those blessings? That's how he does it. And so it all comes back to this. It all comes back to did God really say? Did God really say? And notice this, because he couldn't get Eve to believe that little twisting of God's word, you know, did God really say you can't eat of any of these trees? Well, that's not what God said. He said you can't eat of this tree. And Eve was not able to be deceived by that, so she moved forward. You know what she said? Well, no, that's not what he said. He said, I just can't eat of this tree in the garden. So then, because the first one didn't work, then the devil goes heavier on her and tells her, God doesn't know what he's talking about. That's not the case. And he says, you're not going to die. You're not going to be destroyed. See, God's just trying to trick you, because he doesn't want you to be as great as he is. And he's trying to keep back your greatness. Oh, man. And see, this is what people deal with in the body of Christ all over the world today, is that there's things that have been set up. For example, let's talk about submission to authority. And the devil twists submission to authority as manipulation, and people trying to keep you back. Well, see, if they really believed in my gift, they'd be using me more. I would have had more solos in the choir. And if they really understand that I'm anointed, I'm the prince of praise and worship, I'm a psalmist unto God. I don't know why pastor doesn't have me preach on the Sundays that he's gone. I've got a gift on the inside of me. And they think that submission to authority is really manipulation. But it's not manipulation. It's God's system of authority in the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is like the military. All authority is delegated from above. And if you're not submitted to any authority, you have no authority. I said, if you're not submitted to any authority, then you have no authority. That's why. Imagine a pipeline. Let's just imagine. Now, this is crazy. Think about this. We just bought a new house. My wife and I just bought a new property. And one of the first things that happened, we got in there, lived about a week in the house, and then all the toilets and all the showers started backing up with sewage. And I thought, my God, what in the world is going on? So I called out Roto-Rooters, and the guy came out with his blade, you know, and he dug up the ground. We saw that there was I don't even know what you call it, because I'm not any kind of a handyman whatsoever, but they've got the pipe, the release valve out in your yard that can release the sewage if they have to pump and drain it from the main line that goes toward the city. And what is it? The clean out. And that seemed pretty obvious. I should have known that. The clean out. And he saw that there was paper coming out of the cleanup. So they popped the cap off, drained. But then he said, let me get my blade down in there. And he started rotating it, and he was cleaning stuff out both directions. But he said, man, it's really hard. I got to get something else. I got to get a bigger blade, a sharper blade. Stuck that down in. That didn't work. Stuck a camera down inside to see what was going on. And he said, man, that's crazy. I'm going to have to come back with my buddy tomorrow. We're going to dig your yard up, and we're going to, whatever's in there, we're going to pull it out. He goes down in there. And the next day, he's digging the whole yard up, cuts the pipe off, and I'm inside working. He comes in he's like, man, you want to see something? Come outside. And he pulled out of my main sewage drain a 7.5-foot root of a tree that had grown. You thought I was going to say snake. A 7.5-foot root that had grown from a tree right into the main sewage pipe, and it was about 4 inches thick, growing in that pipe all the way, as big as Shaquille O'Neal inside my sewage pipe. 7.5 feet long, 4 inches thick. Pulled that thing out into the yard. But notice this, that I looked down into that hole. And when I looked down, I saw the one side of the pipe that goes out towards the city sewage. I saw the other side of the pipe that goes into my house. And then I saw the gap where they had cut the pipe. And I started to realize that no matter if that's a water line, a power line, a sewage line, that there's a disconnect there. And if he was to leave the disconnect, then all the sewage would pile into that hole and then overflow. If it was the water line and we were pulling water from the city, because there's no connection, our house would receive no water. If it was power, our house would receive no electricity. And I started to realize that you can be one of the pipes or the fittings in that row going from the source all the way to the end point. But here's the problem. If one of the pipes in the whole row of pipes decided, they don't understand who I am in this plumbing community. They've got me sitting over here carrying water. I'm going to go ahead and disconnect from everybody and come over here and start my own plumbing section under the ground over here. But the problem is now that pipe is no longer connected to the source, and so it has no ability to bring anything to anybody living in the house. And there's an issue when the devil wants to get you separated from your authority, because when he separates you from your authority, you've been separated from the source of power. Like it or not, it wasn't men that created the fivefold ministry. It was God who created them and set them in the church. Some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are real gifts, callings of God. These are things put on to men and women of God for the purpose of perfecting the saints and raising them up to do what they're called to do. When people decide, I don't need any pastor speaking into me. When people decide, I don't need to listen to anything an evangelist said. When people say, I don't need a prophet prophesying over me. I don't need an apostle speaking into my, I don't need some teacher coming in here and telling me how I should think about the Bible. What they're really doing is allowing pride to pull them out of God's progression of power. Catch what I'm saying? It causes pride to rise up, and it removes you from God's progression of power. And what God's really trying to do is connect us to the source of power. Because unless we're connected to the source of power, we carry no power. And so when God gets you connected with a vision and gets you connected with a man of God, a woman of God, a house of God, it's because he's got power. This church is not just a place of worship, it's a power plant. And you understand power is generated inside this place. The church is something that was created by God. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some are doing, but as you see the day of the Lord approaching, gather all the more. So that shows you a couple things. Number one, it shows you that we can actually see the approaching of the day of the Lord. Number one, if we couldn't, there would be no way to obey that command. If we couldn't see the day of the Lord approaching, we could not obey that command. So number one, it shows us we can see prophetic timeline taking place on the earth. Number two, it shows us that gathering together as believers in the church is God's plan, not man's plan. And so I thank God for live stream. We live stream. I thank God. I get out every morning, Monday through Friday, and live stream all over the world. And people log on to hear the word of God. I thank God for it. But it will never replace you gathering at a local assembly and being a part of the local church. Because you can't have church online. You can't have church at home. You can't have church in yard chairs in the back of your yard. You can't have church in the pool. You can't have church in the hot tub. It doesn't work like that. It might feel nice, but that's not God's plan. God has a system to produce power in the kingdom of God. And it's to come to an assembly where people have come together, sitting under one of the fivefold ministry gifts that God has set in the church for the perfecting of the saints. The problem is the devil has inserted pride into the body of Christ to get us to think that every one of us can do whatever a pastor can do, that every one of us can do whatever an evangelist can do, that every one of us can do whatever an apostle can do. But see, there is a separation between those that God has called full time to do the work of the ministry. It's not that believers can't do things for God. You're fully equipped to do the work of the ministry and to bring the lost into the kingdom of God, to lay hands on the sick, to watch them recover, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to prosper. You are anointed. But see, there are people like Pastor Mike and Rhonda, like myself, like Pastor Cody, like others around the nation that have been called by God to raise saints up to their potential. And see, it's not man-made system. It's a God-made system. God said, I'm going to put my ministry gifts in the church, and I'm going to anoint them to anoint others. People say, well, I don't need any man. I got Jesus. Well, then slap Jesus in the face, because he's the one that set men over men in the earth. It's not a man-made system. It's a God-made system. And the only thing the devil's trying to do is strip us of our power and strip us of our authority and strip us of our purpose. This church is not just a place of worship. It's a power plant where power is generated to do the mighty work of God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, every one of us sitting in this church tonight, there's no answer that the devil has for the power that's on the inside of you. There's no answer that the devil has that can stop the power that God's placed on the inside of you. You're anointed to tear down the works of darkness, to kick down the walls of the devil's kingdom, and to bring the lost into the kingdom of God. If you believe it, shout amen. So understand that there is a disconnect that the devil tries to trick us into. Amen. Disconnection. In the army, they call it AWOL. Absent without leave. And it doesn't matter. If you go rogue in the military, they put you into military prison. Because, see, if you start taking on assignments that you made up, that the military did not sanction, you're considered a rogue. Are doing roll. Let's see where all the soldiers are, and they're standing there, and the drill sergeant's walking down the line, and your space is missing. They're going to say, where's Robertson? Who's seen Robertson? Sir, no, sir, I haven't seen him, sir. People are freaked out because they're like, I'm going to get punished for Robertson. They're going to start searching. Somebody go back to check the bunk. Where's Robertson? Check his bed. Check his bed. He's gone. And then they mark you absent without leave. We didn't tell you you could leave. We didn't tell you you could go. We didn't tell you to go on some mission. You decided. And see, what happens is this. Once people decide to go on a mission for themselves, watch this, the military is no longer backing them. So when the military's no longer backing you, if you get into a conflict, there's no help coming to save you from the conflict. Because you initiated the fight yourself. You initiated the exit from the order of purpose yourself, so that when you get into a problem, there ain't no help coming because you designed it on your own. However, if there is a command that comes from your commanding officer and tells you to go into enemy enemy territory with your battalion and accomplish a task for the military. If they come up against you and try to take you out, there's jets on the way. There's helicopters on the way. There's more troops on the way. There's people that have got your back. There's a nation standing behind you because all you did was follow an order. Woo! The thing the devil doesn't want you to be able to do is follow an order. Every instruction from God brings a manifestation of his power. You should write that down. If you've never heard that said, you need to write it down. Every instruction from God brings a manifestation of his power. And some of them seem like impossible instructions. Look at Luke chapter 5. I want to show you something in Luke chapter 5. This is one of my favorite stories because it freaks people out. It freaked Peter out. Look at this, Luke chapter 5. And see, the reason I'm preaching on this tonight is because in order for us to step into the power, tap into the power of God, we have to be in the order of God. See, if we're not in the order of God, we don't have access to the power of God. See what I mean? And see, God wants every one of us to be able to receive power from heaven to bring a change in every one of our lives. Luke chapter 5 is interesting because this is a story that took place before Peter had ever become a disciple of Jesus. So he didn't have that connection with Jesus like he did later. This was kind of like he's a stranger to me and I'm a stranger to him. But the Bible says Peter had fished all night long with his men. Peter was not just some guy that was sitting on the dock with a fishing pole with his leg hanging out into the water and a little pail. He was a fisherman as a trade, as a business. Some commentaries you'll read say that the shores of Galilee were filled with boats owned by Peter and men that worked for him, and he was the owner of a company that was a fishing company. And in fact, you'll see here that he had servants. There were other men washing their nets. That Peter was so successful at fishing and that business that he had a house that was so big, it fit Jesus and all the disciples and himself and his mother-in-law and his wife. So it wasn't some small little hut in Galilee. He lived in a house that could house 14 people and sit there and begin to minister to Jesus and bless Jesus. And you know, understand, he was the man. When he laid stuff down to come follow Christ, it wasn't like he just threw his fishing pole into the ocean. It was like, well, I got nothing better. He wasn't Bilbo Baggins. This was, you understand, this was a man who had influence in the community. He had money. He was a businessman. He was wealthy. But he said, what I see in this man Jesus is more important than what I got going on in my business, what I've got going on in my career. I'm putting all that on pause and I'm going to follow after Jesus. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, you know, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, now watch this, Master, we toiled all night long and took nothing. But at your word, do you see that? I will let down the nets. At your word, catch that. At your word. Jesus just gave the man an instruction that was actually designed to take him into the overflow. At that moment, he had a choice to either reject the instruction of Jesus. He could say, hey, this ain't your boat. This is my boat. Get your behind out of my boat. I'm washing my nets and I'm going home to bed. I've been fishing all night. We didn't catch nothing. He had every right to tell Jesus, get out. This is my property. It ain't your property. Be stepping into my boat while I'm washing my nets. This ain't your platform. This is my boat. He could have said it. It was his. Jesus is not a thief. Jesus only did it because Peter consented to lend his boat to Jesus. Oh, man. And Jesus stood in the boat and taught the crowd and said, now go out into the deep and let down your net. He said, look, we just did that. I don't know if you understand who we are, Jesus, but we're professional fishermen. We know where all the fish are. We know where the fishing holes are. We don't fish with poles and bait. We fish with nets. It's not like they were sitting there, well, try the other bait. This one doesn't seem to be working today. No, they drug nets through the sea. See, when you drag a net, then you catch everything that you can catch. Kitchen sinks, old boots, every fish. You understand? You catch everything in a net. See, let me just stop right there and tell you, that's the problem with a lot of churches today. A lot of churches are fishing with a pole and bait because there's churches that are fishing for a particular kind of fish. There's some churches that only want blackfish, and there's some churches only want whitefish. We don't want no blackfish in this church. This is a whitefish church. And so what do? They put bait on the pole, on the website and business card, and on the TV commercial to catch whitefish because that's the only kind of fish we want. Well, this is a church that reaches Puerto Rican fish. We're a Puerto Rican fish church. We're a Nigerian fish church. We want Nigerian fish in this church. And we want rich fish. Well, we're looking for poor fish. And so people start fishing with bait to get a specific kind of fish to jump into the net of the church. But understand, when you fish with Jesus, he doesn't fish with a pole. He doesn't fish with bait. He fishes with a net. And when you drag a net, you get Nigerian fish, Puerto Rican fish, black fish, white fish, red fish, yellow fish, rich fish, poor fish, tall fish, short fish, fat fish, skinny fish, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You get everything when you fish with Jesus, because he's not discriminating. Jesus is not a racist. Jesus is not a white supremacist. Jesus ain't a part of the Black Panthers or the KKK. But Jesus Christ, he's fishing for everybody, and he's willing that none should perish. Shout amen.
Amen.
So understand, he said, drag your nets. He said, but at your word. He said, we just did that, and we're pros. But at your word, Master. See, the devil would love to have you get an instruction from Jesus and then trick you out of believing it because you've had some experiences in life. Well, I've already tried that. I've already done that. Well, I'm educated. I know better than that. See, the kingdom of God is interesting. It's a kingdom of paradoxes, weird things that are actually opposite to the normal way that you would think you would do stuff. I said it this morning. The world teaches if you want more, you got to hoard and save. God said if you want more, you got to give away. In the world, they think if you want promotion, you got to struggle and hustle for the top. Jesus said, in my kingdom, if you want promotion, you got to go down. He said, if anyone wants to be the leader, you must become the servant. And Jesus, who was the master of all, said, it's time for me to wash y'all's feet. You would think that they were throwing their coats down so Jesus didn't have to walk on the dirt. And so, you know, people throwing rose petals in front of him. Here comes the master. Jesus said, I'm here. I'll wash your feet. Because if you want to be the greatest of all, you've got to become the servant of others. The kingdom is a kingdom of paradox. It doesn't seem like it should work the way it works, but that's because it's a supernatural kingdom. Some people are looking for medication. Jesus said, just anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. It doesn't seem like the way the world would do it, but Jesus does it in a way where he can get the glory after it's all done. So when an instruction comes to your life, it's not to manipulate you, like your Pinocchio on some strings, marionette puppet. It's so that God can direct you to where your blessing is. And God knows the quickest route to your blessing that there is. So he's going to take you by instruction to where he's calling you to go. You understand? It's only in church people get mad about instruction. It's the only place people get mad about it. Did you ever notice people will pay $1,200 to go to a conference and have people correct everything they've been doing in their business and tell them you're doing it wrong? Some people will cuss at you and say you've got blankety blank problems. I mean, this is true. And they'll tell you your business is failing because you're a moron. They'll have Gordon Ramsay come into their restaurant and cuss out all their employees and say you're a bunch of blank, blank. You know, get the blank out of the kitchen, you blank and blank. And they're like, yes, let's pay for this. This is wonderful. You want Gordon Ramsay to come cuss your staff out to get your restaurant back on top where you've been failing. You say, oh, yeah, that's one. You know, you understand that? It's interesting that you'll go to conferences where they'll correct everything you've done, tell you this is how you, if you want to succeed, and people pay $1,000 plus a plane ticket and a hotel room to go listen to a conference where they correct everything you've ever done. And like, isn't that wonderful? I felt so built up by the end of that. So many new ideas are just popping around through my head. It's interesting, and that's how people are. They want it. Let me tell you who else you don't yell at when they give you instruction. Google Maps. You take Google Maps. You don't know where you're going. You pop your destination in, and you know, and it says, you know, in 500 feet, turn right. So you're sitting there, and you got your Google Maps open, and you're driving because you don't know where in the world you are anyway. Half of y'all couldn't get to church without I'm talking to myself, actually. That's my, oh, Lord Jesus. You shouldn't be an evangelist and have this poor of a sense of direction. My wife told me today, she said, you're going to have to start learning where you are. So then I paid her $1,000 for the correction. So you don't put your destination into Google Maps and start driving down the road. And then when it gets your first instruction in 500 feet, take the ramp onto I-75. Say, who do you think you're talking to? I know how to drive. I've been driving 25 years. I don't need some little robot telling me which way to turn the car. Nobody gets offended at Siri, at, you know, Google Assistant. Nobody gets offended at Google Maps. Nobody gets offended at the turn-by-turn navigation. Why? Why do you not get mad at your phone? Because you already understand that my phone is taking me the quickest way to where I want to go. So if I'll just listen to the instruction, if I'll just make the turns it tells me to make, I won't be delayed in traffic. I like one of the new features they added. There's a 20-minute backup on the interstate. There's a new route available that will save 15 minutes. And all you got to do is hit accept. And that thing reroutes on your phone. And you miss the accident, you miss everything on the interstate, and save 15 minutes. But there's people in the house of God that won't listen to an instruction from a man of God to get them quickly to where God's called them to be. They get offended. Who does he think he's talking to? Who does he think? What does he think he's going to tell me? I don't need to hear something like, I know how to, I'm a full grown man. Who you think you're talking to? And the Holy Ghost, by the power of God, is trying to get you to your blessing and avoid every pileup, avoid every accident, avoid every delay, and get you on the quickest route to the blessings of heaven so you can walk in the favor of God at a quick, rapid rate. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And the devil hates the instructions of God. He doesn't want you to get them. Because he knows what instructions do for you. They bring you into the overflow. So let me go further. He said, but at your word. You know what that means? In the natural, it seems stupid to do the same thing again that we just did. However, because you're the master, this is why it's important to value where your word's coming from. Woo! You value where your word's coming from. Understand this. There's nobody that works on Wall Street that leaves their office, goes down into the slum areas of New York City, finds a homeless person in an alley with a notepad out and says, hey, just want to quickly ask you, what are some stocks you've been looking at for this upcoming fiscal year? Because I really want to update my portfolio. Would love to know some of your suggestions for investment. He doesn't know. Or he'd have some money himself. You know what I've never seen? A homeless guy buy another homeless guy a home. You know why? If he could, he'd buy himself one first. I'm preaching a principle here. Not picking on homeless people. Understand, I'm teaching you a principle. You understand, if you go to your, if you're still not too good to do this. Some people only can drink bottled water nowadays. If you can still throw a glass under the tap and drink regular old water. Look, when I was growing up, we played sports outside. I'd take it straight from the hose. That metal's good for you. Get some of that metal in your blood. Good for you, buddy. Drink some more of it. Get some iron in you. Dad, that's copper. That's all right. Same stuff. It's all metal. Just need to get it in your blood. If you're still on it, you can put it under. When you lift that handle to put water in, and you've got that cup, that receptacle under the faucet, what is the first thing that gets wet when the water starts flowing? Not the cup, but the faucet carrying the water. The faucet carrying the water, which means if you're going to get somebody else wet, you got to be wet yourself first. If you're going to transfer anointing into somebody else's life, you better be anointed first. That's why there aren't, see, it's a crazy thing, but in our generation, you even look at how churches are going. They don't want there to be pastors anymore. Now they want pastor by committee. They want eight guys to pastor the church instead of one. Why? It just further breaks down the leadership in the body of Christ. Now they don't want us to have pulpits anymore. They want us to have coffee tables. Now they don't want us to have platforms. They want everybody on the same level. They don't want anybody looking like leadership anymore. They want us all to stand around in a netted tank top and ripped jeans and a fedora. But listen, I ain't in here trying to get food stamps out of a garbage can. I came to deliver a word from heaven. You understand, I was listening to a story about Smith Wigglesworth. Who's heard of that man? Smith Wigglesworth. See, you need to, what you understand this, this is not a business principle. You don't just dress for success, but you dress in such a way, understanding I'm on a mission. Anybody that's on a mission has a way that they look. Understand what I'm saying? So I was listening about this story about Smith Wigglesworth. He was staying with a South African man of God whose name was Brother Duplessis or Duplessis, however you want to pronounce it. And he was in his home, and in the middle of the night, God woke Brother Wigglesworth up with a prophetic word for Brother Duplessis. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And Brother Duplessis testified on TBN, this was years ago. He said, into my room. Walked Smith Wigglesworth in the middle of the night. And he said, he comes into my room. My wife and I are in bed sleeping. He's got his Bible under his arm. He's got a three-piece pressed suit on, tie, hair combed and sprayed, standing in my room with his black Bible under his arm, comes in and begins to prophesy to me. He said, and I sat up in bed, and Brother Wigglesworth began to tell me time after time. He said, everything the Lord wanted me to do in the ministry, began to prophesy about what I was going to do in my purpose. And when he was finished, he spun on his heel, went out of the room, and shut the door. He said hours later, around 9 in the morning, we were having breakfast downstairs. And he said Smith Wigglesworth came down from his room for breakfast, and he came down and he was just in suit pants and an untucked dress shirt that was unbuttoned at the neck. He said, Brother Wigglesworth, I saw you 6 hours ago, and you were in a three-piece suit pressed and ready for the day. He said, how come now you're just in a slacks and a dress shirt? He said, back then at 3 in the morning, I was on a mission for the Lord. He said, now I'm just going to eat my breakfast. But you understand that when you're doing something for God, you've got to look like you know what you're talking about. There's a whole world of people. It always cracks me up because they tell younger generation guys like me, if you're really going to be relevant, get yourself some ripped jeans and a t-shirt. If you're really going to be relevant, you got to look the part. And I see, because if you wear a suit and tie, nobody can receive from you. I'm thinking to myself, what a stupid thought process. Like, you think honestly that there are people in my generation or younger that are turning on ESPN at night to get the sports updates on SportsCenter? Like, man, I was going to get the sports updates from these guys, but they're in suits and ties. I don't know if I can even receive anything they're saying about the Patriots, because look at those guys in those stupid ties. Yeah, you think people aren't watching Jimmy Fallon? Say, I was going to stay up tonight and watch Fallon, listen to some of those jokes, but the dude's in a suit and tie. I don't know how in the world I can listen to anything he has to say. Meanwhile, you've got preachers, they're trying to rip us down to nothing. You've got the body of Christ, they're trying to rip us down to nothing. But you've got to get it back in your spirit again. I am called to do something great for God. I am called to be who God's made me to be. And see, it doesn't have anything to do with your anointing. God can anoint you in jeans and a t-shirt. He can anoint you in a suit, can anoint you in a dress. Has nothing to do with your anointing. But you understand, I've been in churches when I walked in, it took me 30 minutes to figure out who was in charge. There should be a place of authority in leadership where nobody has to wonder who's the leader of this place. And see, when you go into your job, there will be people. See, you have it together in the spirit to the place where when people need something from the Lord, they know who to talk to. When they need someone to pray for them, they know who to approach. When they've got a something going on, a tragedy hitting their life. They're not just looking for anybody. They're finding the one that they know is already filled with power from on high to bring a change into their life. Hear what I'm saying tonight. If you're going to be impactful, only changed people can change the world. Woo! Somebody say, changed people will change the world. I'm not trying to look as much like the world as I can. I'm trying to look different. I said, I'm trying to look different. I want to look like everybody else. I said, I don't want to look like everybody else. Amen. Luke chapter 5. The Bible says, he obeyed the master's word, pushed out into the deep, let his nets down. And look at this. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. And their nets were breaking. Here's what I like. God's not just interested in taking you into a place where he blesses you. He's interested in taking you to a place where he blesses you to such a degree you don't have the capacity to keep it all. You don't have the capacity to keep it all. So notice what happened. So verse 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. And both the boats began to sink. Now here's what I like. These other guys weren't any part of the interaction between Christ and Peter. They were just friends of Peter. Oh, well, I'm getting ready to show you something here. They had nothing to do with Peter's obedience. They had nothing to do with his connection to Jesus. They were just close by. So when Peter started getting blessed, his friends started getting blessed just because they were connected to him. And he called, he said, hey, I need some help over here. And they started dumping the overflow of Peter's blessing into the boat of his friends. Peter's boat was already sinking with the blessing of heaven. He said, take some of this, take some of this, take some of this, take some of this. And before they were done, the other boat started to sink because the blessing of God was too much for any one man. And the blessing is getting ready to weigh you down. The blessing's getting ready to sink your ship. The blessing's taking you into the overflow. And those around you will get blessed just because they're connected to you. Woo! Here's what people don't get about the overflowing blessing of God. They think it's greed when you start thinking like that. But if I need to be a blessing, I can't be one of these people that only am believing for my bills to be paid. Well, I'm just believing for just enough, brother. Anything more is greedy. No, anything more is purpose. Your purpose is defunct unless you have overflow. If all you're believing for is bills to be paid and enough for your tithes, you can't even do what the Bible teaches us to do. How can you bless the poor if you don't even have anything left over after your bills are paid and tithes are paid? We talk about tithes so much in church because people are such a low level, but tithes is the most elementary thing there is. Tithes. Give me a break. I've been tithing since I was 3. I was still peeing my pants while I was tithing. You understand? They were still changing me, and I was tithing at that point in my life. Tithing. Need to tithe. Everybody needs to tithe. Yes, we need to tithe. I don't come in here every day. You need to tie your shoes. Make sure you tie your shoes. Tithing's elementary. If you're not a tither, you'll always be a beggar. You understand? It keeps you in a place where God can't bless you. It's not that he doesn't want to. He can't. And we're harping year after year on tithing. How many are going to be a tither? We're going to do the tithing challenge. How many wants to be a tither? We're going to introduce new tithers. Get over yourself and start sowing above and beyond the tithe. You got people that come to church, they got everything at their house. They got, I'm not even the pastor, I'm not even taking an offering right now, I'm just ranting. You go to people's house, they got 92 60-inch flat screens, 3 brand new trucks, a bass boat, every gun under the sun. Thanks for all the shouts. a house, a barbecue. They're out there in the back and coming in and dropping $20 bills in the offering. And trust me, I'm not taking an offering right now. I'm just telling you a principle that people, the reason they're frustrated and lives fail is because they value natural things more than they do spiritual things. They'll go on vacations and cruises with their family, go to Disney World, pay $13 for a bottle of water in the middle of the heat because Disney is screwing you out of money every time you go. And they take stuff from you. And they go. And I'm telling you, time and time again, it happens. And people go, wasn't it wonderful? Wonderful. Did you taste the water with the earth on it? And they come in church and drop $20 in the offering plate and wonder why their life's falling apart. It's because we valued natural things over spiritual things. Hello. We've valued natural things over spiritual things, and people are dying of drug addiction and problems. But the reason that people are struggling is because they've put the natural over God. They've put what's now in the temporal over the eternal. And there's a problem with that, because once you start putting your trust in the arms of men, the Bible says, that God's not just disappointed. He said when people do that, they are actually turning their back on God and bringing a curse onto their own life. That's why I thank God for a room full of people that show up on a Sunday night when it's nice and beautiful, 79 degrees outside, could be anywhere else, could be out at the lake, could be out playing, having a good time, but you're so hungry for the things of God, you got yourself together and came to church tonight because you had a value. You said, I'm not going to be left out. I'm coming into the presence of the Lord. And see, America needs people like you that value the things of the Spirit and not people that say, we don't need God anymore. You know, I've had people say to me, did you ever notice how easily people have miracles in third world nations? Seems like God's really working miracles in, you know, places in Africa and places in India. It's not because God does more miracles over there. It's because they have less options over there. There's not a CVS on every corner. They don't have governmental health care. You can't just run in to the emergency room and have them do an operation on you within the next 24 hours. Why do they need the power of God? Because if you don't have it, it's either the power of God or death. And people have figured out, I don't want to die, so I'm going to believe God for a miracle. And see, in America, we've gotten comfortable leaning back on the arm of man, on the arm of the government, on the arm of the medical system, and God's saying, when are you going to start trusting me again for miracles, signs and wonders? Because he's the same God in the United States that he is in Nigeria, that he is in Bangalore, India, that he is in Sri Lanka. He's the same God doing the same things that he's always done. Somebody shout amen. I'm encouraging you tonight because, see, God has a word that's going to take you higher. When a word comes, it is not to manipulate you. It's to take you into your destination of blessing. Amen. God wants to bless you in an overflowing way. Woo! I tell you, he's about to do it. I've been declaring 2019 is going to be a year, and my wife and I, we didn't even know what was coming out of our mouths. But we started confessing. You guys watched it online. Month of March. We started confessing. March is the month our momentum kicks off. Momentum in March. We didn't even know what we were saying. And in 5 weeks from confessing that, we were basically, see, here's what happened. Living in Virginia Beach, the Lord gave us a word, said move to Florida. Had no reason to go other than the Lord said to go. So we rented our house in Virginia Beach out, moved to Florida, came down, found a nice place to rent while we got the lay of the land. Stayed in this rental house for 2 years, and then the owner of the rental house said, I'm selling the house out from underneath you. You're going to have to be out. And didn't hardly give us any time to make any decisions. It was coming up. We were in March. It was coming up, and he was like, you're supposed to be out by the end of March, but I'm going to give you just to the end of April. We're like, you know, I'm not even home. I'm all over the world at this point. Alaska, Saskatchewan, Canada, South Africa. I'm not even going to be home for any of it. And my wife's like, well, we've got our own conferences going on. My husband's traveling, preaching. Can we at least have into May? He said, no, you can't. Basically, threw our family out on the street because he got nervous. And so we started confessing. This is after we're confessing momentum in the month of March. See, when you say stuff, make sure you're ready for it when it comes. make sure you're ready for it when it comes. I'm going to say, something's quickly moving. That's what I'm saying. This is coming out of my mouth on Facebook Live. Something's quickly moving. We're quickly moving forward. Something's quickly moving out of here. And I don't realize I'm prophesying my own self out of a place. So my God, we're quickly moving forward. Things are changing now. Things are changing. Yes, it is changing. You're looking for the words. Grab, pop them back in your mouth. But see, God always takes you into the better, never into the worse. Always into the better. In less than 5 weeks. See, God knows the desires of your heart. I was living in a development in Florida that I really, really loved. I really loved it. And I said, God, you know, we love the city we live in. We love even the development. I don't want to leave. I didn't want to leave that development and go search all over. I didn't have to hire six guys, say, find me a great property now that we're down here and people searching all over the surrounding cities. I said, God, we want to stay in this place. We want to stay in this place. And my wife and I saw this house in the same development that we lived in. And it was a beautiful place, bigger than the one we were living in. And I looked at it. And here's what's crazy. I would leave my house every morning and leave. In our development, there's five neighborhoods in our development. I would leave my neighborhood for no reason. I didn't even know why I was doing this. Walk across the main road and walk into that neighborhood, which was a big circle. And I would just walk because I was walking 4 miles a day. And as I would walk, I would pray in the Holy Ghost. And so 4 miles, I would just walk circles in that neighborhood, not even knowing the house that God was reserving for us. I'd walk by it like 9 times a day, past my new upcoming driveway, past my new house, past my new property, past my new pool. Thank you, Jesus. I don't hear nobody. And I'm walking. You know, people, I'll give you a tip here just so you don't freak your neighbors out. If you're going to walk outside and talk in tongues like that, just throw some earphones in. You know, people don't know if you're on the phone with somebody or what. They think you're just talking to someone foreign from another nation. He has friends in the Middle East, I think, is what is happening there. And so I just walk the neighborhood, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you understand, down in South Florida, those properties don't stay on the market. They sell, I mean, like this. And it was crazy because God directed our attention to this property. And then it would sit there. And we're checking online. We kept going by, still for sale, still for sale. God's holding the thing for us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's holding the thing for us. We're walking by it every day. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, not even knowing that what I was confessing out of my own mouth was for me and for my wife. And I walk by, and then we check it again. That thing sat on the market. Now, most places go in 30, 45 days, they're off the market and gone. It sat there for 40 days, 60 days, 100 days, 200 days, 300 days, 400 days, going up on 500 days on the market. Nobody could buy it. People would put in offers, they'd get a contract going, and then the person would drop out. Or they couldn't get money to come in from another country, and they'd drop out. And one after another, story after story, the thing just kept sitting and sitting and sitting. And finally, we contacted the owner, said, we're going to buy the house. But you know what I like about it? God didn't just let the place sit there, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful place, but he didn't just let it sit. Watch how God does. As the owner let the thing sit and sit and sit, the whole time he's letting it sit, he's dropping the price and dropping the price and dropping the price and dropping the price. By the time I got to where I was going to make an offer, he had already dropped the price over $100,000 from where he started from. I don't hear you tonight, but God's got some fish waiting to jump into your boat. I said, God's got some fish waiting to jump into your boat. And when I moved into the place, I moved in with probably over $160,000 of equity in a brand new house that would not sell. It was waiting for me because God was putting his children in a place of blessing. Woo! God's got some fish about to come into your boat. I said, God's got some fish going to sink your boat. It's going to be so much that you won't be able to handle it all. It'll have to go overflow into somebody else. I said, it's going to overflow into somebody else. Stand on your feet and lift your hands. It's going to overflow just him, but thank you for your obedience. Hallelujah. Need to be more specific. Terry, I'm telling you, Sam, you can come back to the keyboard. I'm getting ready to minister to some people. Run like you're losing weight. There you go. Keep run. Terry, I'm telling you, get ready. This is going to be so supernatural, what God does in the upcoming months through your life and through your ministry and through this business. God is going to cause so many fish to jump into your boat. Obviously, I'm speaking metaphorically. But God's going to bless you to the degree and to the place. Other people will be jealous of it. That's all right. Some will think you're crooked behind the scenes. That's all right. They won't understand how God's increasing you in the way that he's going to increase you and your wife. But that's all right. Because promotion doesn't come from men. It comes from the Lord. I said it comes from the Lord. And so God has a plan to bless you. He has a plan to take you higher. Within the next 45 days, I hear the Lord say, he's going to put an idea into your heart, into your spirit, that is going to actually give you the leg up on everybody and everything else. And you're going to have what the Bible calls the secrets of God are coming into your spirit. Deuteronomy 29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. But when God decides to reveal his secrets to his people, you become like Job, who was the wealthiest man in the East. And Job said, "Oh, that I were as in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God were upon my tabernacle." And the reason he increased is because God revealed secrets into his life. I tell you, get ready, for the secrets of heaven are getting ready to come into your life. And there's going to be such a violent increase on your family that it'll make others' heads spin. But it's God putting you in position to be a blessing for the kingdom. Now, I tell you this, God is raising you up as a pillar of generosity for the kingdom of God. That he's going to pour into you the resources and the blessing. Why? Because he knows that you are a man who will release seed into the kingdom. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So I want you to hear this word. He's not just going to give you seed to sow. He's going to give you bread to eat, which means that you'll not be strapped because you're being so generous to the kingdom, but you'll sit and eat the goodness of God as you are generous in the kingdom of God. And God's making you a pillar of generosity in the kingdom. He will pour into you overflowing wealth, and he knows that you will release seed into the kingdom to build this end time revival that's taking place in the United States of America. And from this night forward, I declare over you and Kayla that you'll never ever decrease again. But from this night forward, it'll be violent and steady increase until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Fire of God come upon him tonight in Jesus' name. I loose increase from heaven. I command every door to open by the power of God. Secrets of God come into his spirit. Let his ears be open to hear it by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. People don't know about the secrets of God, man. But when God starts revealing secrets to you, things start changing. There was a young man in Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's church. Very, very good with computers. He was a teenager. And Microsoft released some kind of a thing online where it was an issue they were trying to solve, so they put it out to their users. The kid sat down with it in his home computer and solved it in a few hours, sent it back to them. Microsoft sent the kid a check for $1 million. Built his family a home in Tampa as a teenager because God put secrets from heaven into his mind. Give him the mind of Christ. He'll do the same for you. There's a guy my Uncle Tim met at, you know when you go to those hunting expos and they're always showing the latest gear, all the latest hunting blinds and all that? This is a guy who was up in his tree stand praying in the Holy Ghost, and he's in deer season up there cold, drinking a coffee and sitting there and praying in the Holy Ghost before the dawn, and the Holy Ghost starts dropping all these plans into his spirit for a new kind of hunting blind. So he goes home, sketches out the schematics on a notepad, has a company come in and begin to build what the revelation God gave him. It's these huge tree, they look like cut off, rotted out tree stumps. Have you seen them? They look like big rotted out tree stumps that you can actually go inside with a nice comfortable chair, and they're so realistic, deer come up and rub on them while you're sitting on the inside. You just pull your shade up and shoot it. I mean, Literally sitting there. It's not just it keeps heat in too, but it also keeps scent in. So you literally sit in there. God gave him all these ideas. He went home, drew the schematics out, had a company start building it, brought it back to the next hunting expo, and Texas Hunting Ranches bought out his entire first supply order that came from the warehouse, made him a multimillionaire overnight, all because he was sitting in a tree stand praying in the Holy Ghost, and God dropped a secret from heaven into his spirit and changed his whole life in a moment. God has a plan to bless you. I said, God has a plan to bless you. God has a plan to bless you. Woo! Glory to God. God has a plan to bless you. I said, God has a plan to bless you. God has a plan to bless you. Woo, glory to God, Mike. God has a plan to bless you. Now, Caitlin, I don't know what you do. Put your Bible down, stand on your feet. I want you to take two steps forward. The Lord shows me something here, that God's going to now give you direction so that sitting in your home, you'll be able to do things from your house. In your house, home with your children, and you'll be able to do things from a computer in your kitchen or living room that's going to bring a whole new revenue source into your house. God's getting ready to drop an idea on you. God's getting ready to drop an idea on you that's going to bless your whole family. And I tell you this, I see you blessing your whole family, both sides of your family. Mike's family and your family will be blessed because of the overflow in your house. And I'll tell you, the secrets of God are coming now into your spirit. Get ready to not only receive them, but to log them, document what God tells you, because he's going to bring you into a place of promotion by the leading of his spirit. And you won't have to go to work. You'll be able to stay home with your sons and see family time. But as you sit there right on your laptop in the kitchen, right on a tablet in your living room, and money will just start flowing in through these businesses that God gives you an idea to launch. Ooh. And he's going to fill your mouth with laughter. I think he's already begun. And fill your tongue with singing. And you're going to be so abundantly blessed. So abundantly blessed. Mike, hear me. Both sides of the family are going to be blessed by what God does through the both of you. It'll be such a testimony to your family of the goodness of God. It's such a testimony to your family. Put both hands on your belly. That's where the spirit of man is. Fire of God come upon her tonight. And from this night, I command the blessing of God to flow. The thoughts of secrets of God. See, that's what God does. Gives you access to his power, and then things have to turn around. Amen? Things have to turn around. Ooh, glory to God. And then things have to turn around. How many believing for some things to turn around in your life? See? And it's the authority of God. It's the authority of God that brings the blessings of God. Ha ha. I want both of you to stand. Take a few steps forward. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Now, this word I'm about to give you is not, I've given you a word regarding ministry, preaching, anointing, gifts of the Spirit. This is a different thing. The Lord showed me, even tonight, that God's taking both of you into a new level of prosperity in your ministry. Prosperity. There's money coming. And I'm not talking about to pay for conference. I'm talking about you're going to be abundantly blessed. Both of you are going to be abundantly blessed. More than anybody has ever seen. It'll freak some people out. They'll think that somehow you're running drugs behind the scene or something. There's no way he could have a beard like that and not be running drugs. But it's going to see, people will actually, that's what happens. You start getting blessed by God, and people can't figure out in their natural minds, so they start rumors. but let the talkers talk. Let the haters hate. Those that are with you will rejoice with you. I'll be one of those. Amen. But let me tell you, God has a new level of prosperity because you have, see, a connection to the covenant. You have an understanding. That's what's so powerful about having men and women of God that have gone before you. As I preached yesterday, you just keep going higher in revelation every generation. But let me show you something. You're going to be blessed as a benefit of years of faithfulness that have gone on before you. But I'll tell you, you're going to see a rapid benefit hitting your life. And the blessings of heaven financially are coming upon you. When you sowed that seed yesterday, that something struck into my spirit. It wasn't just a normal thing. That was actually a seed that unlocked something. However insignificant or small it might seem to you, however big it might seem to you, it was something that you did that sparked a prophetic move forward. And I'm telling you, get ready. Because before this year even comes to an end, you're going to begin to see rapid increase in growth financially in your own personal life. And I'm telling you this, you'll not be ever someone has to struggle through debt. That's not going to be your story ever. You'll not have to wonder about how can I get a loan to do this or a loan to do that. But I tell you, you'll pay cash in Jesus' name. And you'll never have to struggle through wondering how this or that's going to work. Hallelujah. But you're getting ready to be blessed at a serious level. God's going to do it. In Jesus' name, I say God's going to do it. I loose the blessing of heaven. I loose the increase of God. I loose the prosperity of heaven into your life tonight in Jesus' mighty name. You've sown seed, but what took place yesterday was not just natural, but supernatural. And I tell you, get ready, for that has unlocked a move forward like you've never seen before. And it's just the beginning. You're seed sowers, but now you're getting ready to, the growth is being expedited. I tell you this, you'll start sowing seeds at a larger level than you've ever imagined. And I prophesy something to you right now. You're getting ready to give more away in a year than people you went to high school with make in a year. In Jesus' name. I said you're getting ready to give more away in a year than others make in a year. Fire of God. For the overflow has come. The overflow has come. The overflow has come. In Jesus' name. I said the overflow has come. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. You ought to rejoice with them. Hallelujah. The overflow has come. The overflow has come. I'm telling you, I feel the anointing in here. Somebody, I'll lift your hands and thank the Lord for what's about to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. I want this young man with the nice floral shirt on. Come here. Come here. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful baby. Lift your hands. I don't know how much or how little you know about this, but God has anointed you and anointed your life. I don't really know you, do I? I mean, we've probably seen each other before, but I don't really know you on a know-you level. But there's an anointing on your life, whether you know this or not. And God is setting you aside, hear me, to be a powerful man for the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you know this or have already had an instruction from the Lord, but I'm telling you that God has placed an anointing of ministry on your life and that he's called you to do mighty things for his kingdom, that you are called to preach the gospel. In fact, I'm sure you've probably already had visions seeing yourself preaching and standing and ministering to others. But that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. For God has set you aside for this final hour of time. And I want you to hear this because, see, this doesn't happen as often as it used to, and it needs to happen more, is that God is calling young men and young women. But I've not seen men and women of God calling others out and telling them. But there is a confirmation by the Spirit. Do you know this is how I came into the ministry at 5 years old in a revival? A man of God who was seasoned saw what God was doing on the inside of me, called me to the altar. He said, many of you don't know what's going on with this young man right now, but God's calling him to preach the gospel. One of the greatest days of my entire life, in the middle of nowhere, Canada, in New Brunswick, in the middle of a snowstorm, God called me out. The fire of God hit my spirit, and I was never the same. I tell you, from this day, you'll never be the same. For the anointing's coming into your spirit like never before. The calling that God's placed on your life is activated today in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, God has a plan to bless you and to make you a blessing in this final moment of time before Jesus comes back. Seek His face. Seek His face. For these hands will heal the sick. This mouth will preach the gospel. People will be delivered from addictions by the power of God that's on your life. It is not flippant, that you should never treat it with a flippant attitude. This is something supernatural that God has deposited in your spirit. What I was preaching tonight, that was coming right into your belly because God's calling you to go higher than you've ever been before. So now I anoint you by the power of the Spirit of God tonight. And I'm telling you, get ready for God to use you in such a great way that it'll blow even your mind to see what God's getting ready to do for you and through you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands, begin to thank the Lord with Him. Things are changing. Things are changing for you and through you in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Amen. This precious lady here, I want you to stand with the nice flower shirt. Come here. Let me pray for you as well. Everybody just lift your hands if you would. Lift your hands to the Lord. Powerful. The anointing of God is on your life tonight. God's touching you supernaturally. The anointing of God flows right through your body tonight. There's not just a healing touch for your body, but also there is a peace that's coming upon you. Every hurt is being healed even now, the Lord says. Every hurt is being healed now. You know, if God can heal cancer, He can heal hurt. And people need to know that God can turn the hearts of men and women back to peace, back to joy. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to encourage you right now. And that is this. Because the devil's tried to lie to you, but your purpose is not discarded. It's not over. The devil would try to make you feel disqualified from what God's called you to do because of things that have happened throughout life. But the devil's a liar. And God says you are valuable to the kingdom. You are valuable to the kingdom. You are valuable to the kingdom. And your purpose has not been discarded, but you're anointed tonight with a fresh anointing from heaven. So your body receives a touch, but your peace now and a new joy and a new strength in the spirit comes upon you tonight. Oh, Jesus. A new strength in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Now, put your hands on your belly. That's where the spirit of man is. And as I lay my hands on you tonight, a fresh impartation of God's spirit comes into you. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Come upon her tonight. And somebody thank the Lord with her that is taking place even now. Amen. Amen. Would you lift your hands all over this room? Many of us need miracles. Many of us need things to turn around. But the anointing of the Holy Ghost is here to do those things. See, it's done by the power of God. I love what the Bible says. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. 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 This couple here, this is your girlfriend? I'm kidding. One of the things that I saw as I just walked past is the same things hitting. Joy overflowing. Joy overflowing. Get this. Joy overflowing. This is important. People think that seems very general as a word. You don't understand how life and death this is. Our nation's being destroyed by an attack against joy. Do you realize that young people and old alike are being destroyed by an attack against joy? Can I tell you something else? That there has been a glorification in our society of suicide as a way out of life. It's a demonic thought process. that they've even got shows on Netflix now telling our young people, if you really want to stick it to those that have bullied you, just find a way out of life and then let them know it was their fault. And I'm telling you, it's a demonic thing. And it's an attack of the devil against our progress in the kingdom and our strength to do what God's called us to do. So when I tell you that there's an overflowing joy, it's a destruction of an attack that's come against the lives of men and women. And I'm telling you, an overwhelming joy is coming upon you. The both of you. Stand on your feet and lift your hands. I'm telling you, from this night forward, it's a new joy. A new joy. A joy that's unspeakable. A joy that's, I like this, full of glory. That's what the Bible says. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means the glory of God fills up the joy that's coming into your spirit tonight. And let me tell you, any weight or heaviness that felt like a weariness in well-doing is being wiped out tonight by the power of God. You're a different man after tonight, for the power of God is touching you, and a new strength and joy is coming upon your life. God's going to use you in such a mighty way. Ha, 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 ha. You'll not be weary in well-doing. I said you'll not be weary in well-doing, but a new strength to work the works of God comes upon you tonight. Let me encourage you, the best days are ahead, not behind. Ahead, not behind. Ahead, not behind. Jesus' name, ahead, not behind. The best days of your purpose, the best days of your ministry, ahead, not behind. For God's got a great purpose. Joy of the Holy Ghost comes upon you tonight in a new measure. You'll not be weary in well-doing. You'll not faint as you run. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody lift your hands. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Let's magnify the name that's above every other name. Amen. He's wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus. See, he's the one we praise. He's the one that we magnify. He's the one that we glorify. It's his power that does these things. Isaiah, I want you to come quickly. Quickly. That means with haste. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? This is going to be a wonderful week. Amen. Lift your hands. That's the weight of God's glory on you right now. The weight of God's glory. For God has anointed you. Even from a young, small child, God anointed you. His purpose that's on your life. Remember this, the gifts and the calling of God. The Bible says they're without repentance. That means he never takes them back from you once he's placed them on you. But you've got to pursue them with your whole heart. And God does have a mighty plan to use you. You've got an anointing that's been placed on the inside of you that the devil is literally afraid of. Afraid of it activating the way God's planned for it to activate. But I tell you this tonight, I am laying my hands on you, and I've laid my hands on you many times. It seemed like a youth event couldn't go by that you didn't get called out and prophesied to. It seemed like there wasn't a meeting that couldn't go by that you didn't get. But see, it's just God adding to you, adding to you, adding to you, adding to you. But tonight, I'm completing this impartation of the Holy Ghost for your ministry and for what God's called you to do for the kingdom. And tonight I lay my hands upon you, and I tell you that there's a new anointing that's coming into your belly tonight, that from this night forward, things will not be the same. It's not just the fact that you'll be able to sing, but now as you sing, there's such a strong anointing coming on your singing that it'll even cause demons to flee. It'll cause, you don't know, but you can sing healing into somebody's body. You can sing healing into somebody's body. Hear what I tell you. you can praise healing into somebody's body. And there's going to be a healing touch. When you sing, people are going to be healed. Happened not long ago, I was preaching. Actually, I was just singing, playing the keyboard. I was in West Virginia. As I was singing and playing on the keyboard, somebody that was sitting right where you're at, about the fourth row back, guy came in on crutches. He had been in a car accident, and it had left his nerves in his back and legs harmed, and so the point where he's crippled had to be on crutches. As we were praying and singing, playing and singing, no one laid hands on him. Nobody anointed him with oil. Nobody put a prayer cloth on him. He threw those crutches down and took off running around the church, every nerve healed by the power of God. You can sing healing into somebody. When I did that, the man that was seated right behind him in the fifth row, he had just had a surgery that went bad, and as a result of the surgery, had gone blind in his right eye and deaf in his right ear on that side of his face. When the man threw the crutches down, that same power of God jumped a row back onto that man. He started jumping and shouting, I can see, I can hear. I can see, I can hear. You can sing healing into somebody. Woo! I tell you, get ready, Isaiah. For I impart to you a miracle anointing from the Holy Ghost tonight that will be a part of your ministry for the rest of your life. That you'll never miss out on what God's called you to do. You'll never miss out on the purpose God's placed in your life. I can see it already in the spirit, what God's getting ready to use you to do. And it's going to be supernatural. Supernatural. We're taking people for the kingdom of God. We're taking souls for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I lay this cloth on you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus that I've preached with all night long. And as Acts 19 said, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul, and when they were laid upon the sick or the demon possessed, the demons left them because the anointing got into the cloth. And so I anoint this cloth to leave with you and to send with you tonight, to always be a remembrance that this was the night God took you to your next level, and that there's a ministry and a manifestation that's on your life to bring deliverance to the captives. Your life is important for the kingdom. Remember it and stay at that high level. For God's using you. Dedication is all that remains. Dedication to the kingdom and to the call. In Jesus' name, I place it in your hand. And I tell you, in Jesus' name, go forward and do what God's called you to do in the power of the Holy Ghost. Fire of God come into his belly tonight in a new measure. In Jesus' mighty name. And you shall not ever be the same from this night. Amen. Two have become one. So I loose that anointing. See, because when you're getting ready to do stuff for God, it helps greatly to also have an anointed wife. Trust me, because I've got one. I can't tell you how much easier it makes life to have an anointed wife. And the anointing's on you. Power of God is on you. Join hands together. God's using you. God's using you. This is going to be wonderful. You're going to rejoice as you see God open the doors. In Jesus' mighty name, I command the doors quickly come open by the power of God. Somebody praise God for what he's doing. We're almost done. I'm going to pray for every one of you in just a moment. I'm just telling you, I love the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I love the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. That's what the Bible said. He is good, and his mercy endures. You know what I like? The Bible says, when you wake up in the morning, his mercies are new every morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. People say, I'm going through it. What should I do? You know, I tell them, go to sleep. Because when you wake up, mercies are new, joy is new. Woo! Mercies are new, joy is new. Mercies are new, joy is new. Mercies are new, joy is new. I tell you, my sister, the mercies are new, the joy is new. Woo! Glory to God. The mercies are new and the joy is new. The mercies are new. That's it. And the joy is new. And I tell you, no weapon formed against you or your ministry could prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. The mercies are new and the joy is new. Hey, you're getting ready to coast through every issue with complete immunity, saith the Lord. Oh, you'll not have to raise a finger. You'll not have to raise a voice. For God said, I am the one who fights your battles for you. All you have to do is continue praising me, continue worshiping me, continue being faithful to the call and the purpose. And I am the God of vengeance, says the Lord. I take care of every problem for you. For the battle is not your battle, saith the Lord, but the battle belongs to me. And I tell you, tonight, God goes out ahead of you. He goes out ahead of you, and every issue is removed from your path. Every obstacle removed from your path. Every hindrance removed from your path. Get ready to run with momentum in 2019. Ha, 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 ha. For the mercies are new, and the joy is new. The mercies. The mercies are new. Stand on your feet all over this church and lift your hands to heaven. For the for the mercies are new and the joy is new. The mercies are new. Joy is new. The mercies are new. The hey, and the joy is new. My sister, come. Right here, you got the nice dress. Come lift your hands. There's been such a hunger to go higher. You said, Lord, I know there's more than this where I'm at right now. Take me to my next level. Take me to my... You're believing that God's going to promote you to the next place where he's got you. You said, Lord, I'm ready. You're like, you're one of these that's at the gate, like ready for the gun to go off, ready for the race. And see, God's put that spirit and attitude in you because he's anointing you to move forward quickly and to take ground for the kingdom of God. From this night, now anybody that knows you would probably know that you're somebody that you're never even, you're not timid to let people know what you think or what you, and I don't know you, do I? We don't know each other, but I'm speaking by the Spirit. Go deeper, Papa. I'm saying, but you understand, you're one of these people, the Lord shows me this, you're one of these people that you never have an issue speaking your mind or saying what you believe or letting people know, or, you know, you're not holding it back. People don't have to wonder what you're thinking. But see, God said, I made you, and I'm not trying to change you. I made you. I formed you. I gave you that boldness to benefit the kingdom so that you never have a trepidation, a fear, an intimidation to do what God's called you to do. And you're going to step out now in a new dimension, a new boldness and authority, a new anointing. God's going to honor you for dedicating yourself to the kingdom. Tonight, as I lay my hands upon you, a new fire of the Holy Ghost comes into your belly, and I tell you, you're going to run with momentum in this year. Like never before. Like never before. Let me tell you, if they thought you were bold before, get ready for what's about to unfold. If they thought you were loud before, get ready for what's about to happen. Put your hands on your belly where the spirit of man is. I loose it tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost, and God's opening those doors for you, and the boldness. You're leaping through doors of opportunity, and souls will be changed for the kingdom of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her tonight now. Woo! I loose the fire of God, a fresh impartation of the Holy Ghost comes upon you from this day. And you shall do great works for the kingdom of God. They that know their God will be empowered and will do exploits. They that know their God will be empowered and will produce exploits. In Jesus' name. My sister, there are family members that are going to be touched by the power of God. Family members that others said would never, ever, that he would never, no, she would never, oh no, they'd never serve the Lord. They'd never hear the God. No, they're too stubborn, too rebellious. Oh no, not him. The last person anybody thought would be in church is going to be the first one at the altar dancing, shouting, and praising God with you. In Jesus' name. I tell you, family members are coming in Jesus' name. And I take authority and rebuke every wall that would try to stay around their heart to keep them back from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every stubborn, lying spirit that would try to keep them out of the kingdom, I speak to it tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke it by the power of God. I command it to run out of your way. And I declare it. Family members are coming in quickly. Somebody say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me. If you are believing God for a miracle, you need something to turn around, and you want me to pray tonight and agree my and join my faith with you, I want you to get out of your seat and come stand at God's altar. If you're needing a miracle, you're believing for something to take place, I want you to come quickly now. We're going to close praying for God's people. I'm telling you, things are about to turn in your favor. Things are about to turn in your favor in Jesus' mighty name. I'm telling you, I feel this thing. God's moving on his people right now. I said God's moving on his people right now. God is moving on his people right now. Hallelujah. God is moving on his people right now. Something good's about to happen to you. Something good is about to happen to you. Praise God. Ushers are helping me. Sound like the team's got a song of victory. Wherever you are, as you're lining up, lift your hands to heaven. Get ready to receive the prayer of faith. Hallelujah.
Victory is mine.
Sing it, girl.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Come on. I told Satan.
I told Satan.
Yeah. Joy is mine.
Joy is mine.
Yes, it is your joy.
Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
I told Satan.
I told Satan.
Get thee behind.
Get thee behind. Joy today is mine.
Clap those hands and say, victory is mine. Every hand lifted. Father, now as we pray for your people, I ask you now, open up the windows of heaven over every house, over every life. As I lay my hands on your precious people, I loose miracles into every physical body, into every mind, into every heart. Lord, into every relationship, into every financial situation. Turn every evil thing around. Whatever the devil sent for our destruction, turn it into our testimony tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. We give you praise that all things are turning in our favor in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen. Come on, let's praise him.
I told Satan,
oh, get thee behind.
Yes, it is tonight. Jesus' name, you shall not lose ability. You shall not lose mobility. You shall not lose ability in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I loose the healing virtue of heaven into your body tonight. Lord, everything that was damaged by the bullet, I command everything to turn around supernaturally for him from this night forward. I thank you. Pain is leaving. Mobility is coming. Power of God moving on his body. Use his testimony to bring many people into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. We give you praise. Somebody rejoice with him if you would. Come on, sing it again. God's opening doors for you, and you're going to be abundantly blessed. He put the gifts, the talents, the abilities into your spirit. He's used you even from a young age, but now God's taking all the gifts, talents, abilities, calling, purpose, anointing, and it comes together, and you will be abundantly blessed. And God's going to open doors for you that no one even imagined would come open. God's going to begin to give you your own business ideas, and you will work for yourself because God's giving you opportunities and open doors, and you will be an entrepreneur and a blessing to the kingdom of God. I see it. I see it. You'll employ other people. You will employ other people. This ain't going to be no mom and pop shop. You will employ other people, and you'll be such a blessing. You'll be such a blessing. You'll be abundantly blessed. Tonight, as I preach from Luke chapter 5, I prophesy to you, get ready for an overflow of God's blessings getting here to hit you, Sierra, in Jesus' name. If you believe it, somebody clap your hands with her and rejoice one more time. Ha, 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 told Satan. Say it again, say victory is mine. Hey, victory is mine. Hey,
victory today is mine.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, victory today
is mine.
Yes, it is. Say victory is mine. Oh,
victory is mine.
Come on, clap those hands. Victory today
is mine.
Hey, I told Satan.
Behind.
Whoa, victory
today.
Return to your seat and clap those hands. Say, victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Whoa, I told Satan.
I told Satan.
Gotta get behind.
Get behind.
Whoa, victory
today is mine.
Just one more time. Say, victory is mine. Yes, it is tonight.
I told Satan,
gotta get behind.
Get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
If you believe it, clap those hands and give Jesus praise. Oh, something good is happening in every one of us. In just a moment, we're going to sow a seed of faith into the kingdom of God. I want you to bow your head. Understand something. What I read tonight out of Luke chapter 5. This is such a key. Catch this. When Peter was washing his nets and Jesus stepped into his boat. Everybody say, Jesus stepped in to his boat. Now that's one thing. But for Peter to obey and push out from the shore, that was Peter saying, what did he say? I'm lending what's mine to you. I'm lending what's mine to you. I'm lending what's mine to you. And when you do that, it's impossible to give something to Jesus without him giving you a divine thank you. Amen. Heather, stand and lift your hands. It's impossible to give something to Jesus without him giving you a divine thank you. So I want you to be ready. Wherever Zach is, he's probably out in the lobby helping me. But he's going to be ready for a divine thank you. Because God's going to loose a divine thank you. And when God tells you thank you, you will know you've been thanked. Amen. So get ready for what eye has not seen, for what ear has not heard, for what heart has not imagined. It's getting ready to come into your life quickly in Jesus' name. When God says thank you, you'll know you've been thanked. And Peter said, Lord, it's mine, but take what's mine. And Jesus was not just looking to use him, he was looking to bless him. So once he was done doing what the kingdom needed to be done, he said, now push out into the deep and let down your nets. Jesus always had a plan to put the nets in it, put the fish in his nets. To sink his boat with the blessing that came right out. You know what I like about this? Think about this thought before we sow. Peter was a master fisherman, and as I said tonight, he knew where the fishing spots were. These guys made their living from fishing. But notice what he said, we fished all night, could not catch one thing. What do you think? That Jesus somehow knew some place where the fish were that Peter didn't try? No. Guess who just got in the boat with Peter? The Creator. It's my belief that fish that were not there before for Peter, fish that were not available to be caught, had to jump into his net, because when Jesus said, let down your nets, fish had to jump into the nets. Let me encourage you, even if you're in a place where nothing's available for you there, God will create something for you that was not previously there. God's getting ready to create something for his children that was not previously there. So I want you to bow your head. See, it all starts with just the instruction of the Lord to your spirit. Jesus is getting into your boat tonight. He'll give you an instruction. And how you respond to the instruction determines what jumps in your net. I've made up in my mind, I'm going to walk through the rest of my life with my nets overflowing, with my nets about to tear, with my boat being sunk with the weight of God's blessing. And so because I've made that up in my mind, I've also made up my mind, I'm always going to be a sower that is not just happy to sow, but a sower that does what takes faith to do, faith to please God. So I want you to bow your head. Father, speak to every man tonight. Speak to every woman. Give every one of us an instruction from heaven as to what you would have us to give in this offering tonight. We thank you for the ability to be sowers in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for giving us seed because we are sowers. Tonight we release it by faith, knowing you're pleased with our action of obedience and that a harvest is quickly coming back to us. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you and we give you praise. Everybody shout amen. Take an envelope in your hand that has the green on it that says seed on the top of that envelope. If you need one, ushers have them available. If there's not one close by you, you can give by check, credit card, debit card, cash, whatever you'd like. It's available there. Make checks payable to his tab, please. Those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, if you're watching on my page on Miracle Word Ministries, is that happening tonight? Yes, it is. You can put hashtag donate and sow a seed right from the comments of Facebook. If you're watching, can they do that on this his tab as well? Hashtag donate, same thing. If you'd like to give on the website, you can go to miracleword.com or his tabernacle and sow a seed right there on the website, completely secure. We run it through all kinds of offshore accounts so that no one ever sees what you do. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. We say thank you to every person that's doing what the Lord speaks to you to do by obedience and in faith. You know why I say that? Because anything we do for God that is pleasing to him has to take faith to do. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why I always check myself before I riggedy wreck. No, I check myself because... my wife and I get introspective, and here's why. Here's why we do. I want to make sure that whatever I'm releasing to God takes faith for me to do. Because if I just drop something flippantly into the kingdom that takes no faith, it's not pleasing to God. Here's something that'll blow people's minds. Think about this. God dropped this on me one time. He said, did you know that I'm not required to accept every offering given? Woo! I was like, say it again. He said, I'm not required to accept every offering that's given to me. He took me back to Genesis and said, look at Cain and Abel. He said, Abel gave an offering that I loved him for, and Cain gave an offering that I couldn't stand and rejected it. He said, they both gave offerings, but only one gave what I asked. Oh, man. And I started to realize God's not required to accept just anything. He accepts what he calls for. And that's why now I know we can give out of the treasure of our heart, the goodness of our heart, but what I do is that I ask the Holy Spirit first because he knows where my next blessing is. And I want a GPS from heaven instruction to my next blessing. He knows what it's going to take to get me to my next level. And I don't want to just plateau and be on the same place every year, every month, every week. I want to go higher and higher in the kingdom. How many of you, that's the same story for you in Jesus' name. So what it takes is an instruction that takes faith to accomplish. Let me give you, this will help you. I did a podcast on this recently. It's good to check your giving and ask yourself, because sometimes we get into the habit of just sowing the same thing again and again. It almost becomes like our default. You know, well, there's an offering, I'm going to give $100. Offering, I'm going to give $100. Offering, I'm going to give $100. It's good to check yourself and say, does this offering that I continually give still take faith for me to give? I said something on, what was it? It was on, this morning. I said, you know, it makes me laugh. No, I said it Friday night at the partners thing. I said, it's impossible. I can't come to the partners night for Uproar and give $100. I said, the reason I can't do it wouldn't mean nothing. I said, this afternoon I spent $70 on tacos. So didn't I? Did I not? Got to take care of the temple. Amen. So, you know, I can't come in and do something like that for God when I can do something flippantly for tacos. That's why you got to check. See, you ask yourself, has God elevated me to another level? Does this still stretch my faith to do? Or am I just now in a routine that's easy for me to drop this all the time? And when you live like that, God will honor you because what you're checking for is, am I still walking by faith? Am I still stretching my faith? And when you do, God's looking for people like that. You know why? It means your heart is loyal to Him. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 said, when God searches the earth, His eyes are looking for people whose hearts are loyal to Him. And when He finds them, He shows up and shows Himself strong and mighty on their behalf. Woo! Glory to God. So I want you to stand on your feet all over this house. Pastor Michael is going to come and pray a prayer of blessing over God's people. We're going to sow, and we're going to come back tomorrow at 7 o'clock, ready for miracles.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of giving back to You. Lord, we know, God, as we sow, we shall reap. Lord, there are some in the room that are saying, I don't have anything to give. Father, I thank You that You give seed to the sower. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, they'll put their faith out to receive something by tomorrow to be able to sow for tomorrow night. God, I thank You that You are going to provide, Lord, every, no, not need, but God, acceleration for the gospel of Christ. God, I declare it to be done in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everyone who gives tonight. Lord, no matter how big or how small, but Lord, out of obedience. And God, we know that the blessings will chase us down. They will trip us up. Because, God, we walk a life of obedience. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, bless us as we leave. Lord, let us bring someone tomorrow night who needs a healing, needs a miracle. God, they need to hear and see what Jesus does. And, Lord, we thank You that You're going to lay them on our heart for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement said, amen. We love you. Come give. Come give. And then enjoy your evening.
Victory. Today.